Today is Friday, August the 15th, 234th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Chief of the Fieldbrook Volunteer Fire Department, Richard Grissom. How you doing?
Good.
Looks like you've been outside a little bit today.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Working hard.
Having fun. Yeah, yeah. This afternoon, well, you know, last Friday we heard a little bit from Ken Woods, paid chief. Yeah. Now, this afternoon, we're going to spend a little bit of time talking with Richard, volunteer chief, and kind of do a little comparison contrast, some of the challenges that volunteer departments have throughout Humboldt County, as well as just some of the general things that all fire departments have. So,
okay.
Put on our hats and run out our hose, and we'll be back.
Music from your trip to Latin America? You are invited to listen to the newest member of our radio family, 1790 AM, a Spanish language music station with sports from ESPN and news from CNN Español. If you own a business, invite Juan listeners into your business. For information, call 442-5744 or go to juan790.com. 1790, tocando lo que le gusta.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and information time is 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Fire Chief Richard Grissom. But before we do our quote this afternoon, you know, you kind of look to me like you're a guy who's concerned about fashion.
I am.
I think we're going to go with a fashion quote here.
Okay.
This is Coco Chanel. Even I recognize her name. In 1964, quote, "No new fashion worth its salt is ever wearable." Yeah, take that one home tonight, huh?
Yes, I will.
Yeah. Richard, what is the biggest challenge of an all-volunteer fire department?
By far, the biggest challenge is keeping people motivated to the point where when you are in a down period with not very many calls, especially in a small district like ours where our call volume isn't quite as large as in town departments. Keeping people motivated and also keeping them trained on all the different types of equipment we have is a major problem that we always have.
Now, the motivation, I would think, because it's a not formally compensated position, that there's, I wouldn't say more esprit de corps, but certainly a large percentage of that you guys are getting together and you're doing stuff. It's for the benefit of the community, but there's also, hey, these guys are putting themselves out on the line. I got to do the same thing, and we're just kind of all in this thing together.
Well, that's true, and it is that way. Your core group of volunteers that are out there, they're there because of the love of taking care of the community. Most of us are there because we like to play around with the big trucks. But, you know, still, though, you know, keeping people enthusiastically involved in all the things that we have to do day in and day out, week in and week out, to have that one call a week, maybe, because we average 60 calls a year, and so that's, you know, averaging one call a week. So, you know, it's not like we get to do practice what we're trained on. We just do a lot of training. But the group I have are very, very good, and they are very responsible and professional, and I can count on them all the time.
So how do you get them all together? I would think there could be a real strong tendency of cat herding. You know, you got your family, I'm with my family, your work schedule is one thing, mine's another. Maybe I'm in town, maybe I'm not. Geez, we got a vacation this week. Great, okay. How do you have what you need to have when you need to have them?
Well, to begin with, we got 22 positions available on our department. We're hoping for, on any call, at least 7 responders. Okay, so, you know, in any given moment, you could have upwards of 14, maybe 15. But some days, you might only have 1 or 2. And so what we do in case of that is we have mutual aid agreements in place with our neighboring districts that they're being sent to the call at the same time. It's only on fire calls. On medical calls, only one or two people can take care of a medical call without too much difficulty.
Do you guys mess around with medical?
Oh, yes. We are first responders, and I have quite a few EMTs on my department, so we do, a vast majority of ours is medical.
I would think with Mad River being in the neighborhood.
Well, they aren't in a neighborhood.
They'd be screaming and probably beat a volunteer pulling off his job site, trying to figure out what's going on and get there, that they would be, a lot of times they might be the first ones there.
Well, they're not. We are. And so we work very well with Arcata Ambulance. I mean, those people are wonderful, but we work very good. And they expect us to be there. They're looking for us to be there first to get some of this stuff ahead of time for them, some of the information. So that works really well.
So as you're looking at your training and trying to maintain competencies and not have guys and gals nod off in the middle of the training sessions, mm-hmm. How do you keep it so that it's still topical, applicable, something that they'll use? Because I would think the most challenging thing is you train somebody up and they go in there with half knowledge. Well, because they haven't had the chance to use the stuff.
Well, we do trainings throughout the year in different areas. We will do auto extrication trainings on a Saturday. We've done a couple of burns where we have practice burns where we go in and we have them go inside.
You get to do practice burns in Fieldbrook? I'm not sure Eureka does.
Yes, we can.
You lucky guys.
It takes a lot of, you got to go through the process with air quality to get all the permits in place and stuff, and it's a little bit of a process, but yeah, we do that. And we also do it with our neighboring departments. Blue Lake has done
a few. Bring everybody together?
Yeah.
Thing? Okay.
Arcata, we all work together on those.
When you consider who is and who isn't, or who could be a volunteer fire guy or gal, what do you look for?
Well, we look for somebody who is, first off, dedicated to becoming a volunteer, and actually, you can tell in there the way that they treat themselves or the way that they come about it that they are volunteers and that they're not doing it for any other reason than the love of volunteering. And then also, you got to look at their family, because a family is a critical aspect of a volunteer, because if the family's not behind that volunteer, you can't really count on that volunteer. And the families are wonderful that we have. My wife is just amazing the way she lets me do what I do.
Maybe she doesn't like you and she wants you out of the house.
Well, that's probably true, too. and it works that way, I imagine. But, I haven't been home on a Monday night probably in over 20 years. So.
Oh, so that's girls' night out then.
It must be.
Do you have many multi-generational?
Yes, actually, my father was on a department and my son is on a department. So we're third generation. I have another father and son that's on the department, Cam and Chris Appleton, and also Jack and Roy Shepard. So, yes, there is.
I would think that there's something way cool about that.
It is, and it's really cool. When my son joined just a few years ago, I got to be the first third-generation family involved in the department, which was, kind of neat. And so, yeah, it is. And it's enjoyable to see how much of a family we are together, the whole department.
KINS, News and Information Times 319. We'll be back with more from Richard Grissom.
Nearly half a century in the news business should count for something. I'm Dave Silverbrand, and that's how long I've been watching the world go by. Now it's time to put it in perspective. Join me each weekday for a look at local news and views and what they mean to you from my perspective. Dave's Take 2 on KWSW three times each day during the 8, noon, and 5 o'clock hours. Or read them on our website, kwsw980.com.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Richard Grissom. Richard is the fire chief for the Fieldbrook Fire Department. All-volunteer fire department.
Yes.
Put that one out there. The drought that everybody's talking about, that everybody's concerned about, because it's not your full-time job, does it make it easier for you guys to have that high priority on it but still keep it in the range of normal? Or do you freak out thinking, when we do get our one call this week, this could be the whole side of the mountain going up and we're going to have to get out there and do some extraordinary things rather than the normal predictable stuff?
Well, I'd have to say that we're always ready for that extraordinary thing. That's what we are actually waiting for to go do. That's the one that's the funnest. But, it's always in the back of my mind. I'll lay awake at night sometimes thinking, holy cow, if that happens in my district, do I have people to cover it? what am I going to do? And, you know, you always think about that, but you can't think about that all the time. I mean, you know, this job comes with a lot of responsibility. I mean, you know, NFPA, the standards they put out on us, people driving trucks. It's just there's so many things, and if you let it get to you, you wouldn't be able to do the job properly. So I put a lot of faith in God that he's going to take care of those situations for me and that my people are well-trained and they're going to behave the way they should and everything will be safe.
Now, you mentioned the standards, folks. Do volunteer departments have a different standard than paid, or are they the same?
The same. One and the same. Just like, you know, for insurance, I pay workman's comp on my 22 volunteers, and that's the largest chunk of my budget every year is to pay for the workman's comp for them. And so, yeah, no, there's no difference in being paid or volunteer. It's all the same. Standards are the same. We're held up to the same standards as they are. We train to the same standards that they do, and we work side by side with them very well.
What about the gear? Talking with Ken or his predecessors, yeah, they're always talking about the turnout gear. They're talking about this kind of camera. They're talking about that kind of truck. This kind of hose, da-da-da-da-da. And every once in a while, they have the opportunity either to sell a older piece of gear down to a smaller staff, mm-hmm. or you'll hear that they're donating it somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay, well, if, and I presume since he lives out there, if Eddie Laidlaw is in Eureka.
Yeah.
Okay, he's, now if he's out at home and he's responding or he's helping you guys out, as a, I guess, a semi-paid volunteer, sort of, kind of. Can he function in both arenas? Can you, in a, go in, if you needed or were asked to, work at Humble Bay Fire, help him out for a situation, or could Humble Bay Fire or Cal Fire or any of the other guys come up and respond? And is everybody interchangeable the way that
yes, they
we
are.
Hear?
Yes, we are. In fact, we've come and covered Eureka once. Couple years ago, which was kind of exciting for us. We got to come from Philbrook to Eureka, code 3, lights and sirens on the freeway, something we don't get to do a lot of. But no, everybody works well together. I mean, yes, we cover stations.
Even Laidlaw.
Even Laidlaw. Now, okay. You got to understand now, Ed is he's a Eureka Fire Department personnel. He's a source of information for me and my department.
A resource.
He doesn't respond to calls unless he's requested for information or some sort of help in that manner. But
we played Little League together.
Okay.
That's why
anytime
I can make his life a little rougher,
yeah.
Like he used to make mine with the throws to first base.
No.
Yep. Game on.
So they're a real asset to our departments and to all the smaller departments. That's what's so unique about Humboldt County and the way the volunteers and the paid departments, we all get along really well together.
That's why I was wondering if there were some animosities because of either, let's say, Arcata's been so established for so long, paid versus volunteer, locals versus folks new to the area. You know, those normal areas where there's tensions or potential tension areas. That kind of all goes by the wayside because of the greater cause?
Well, what it is the Fire Chiefs Association has put in place a number of policies that we have adopted, you might say, that works well with this situation. The Fairhaven Fire, the Fairhaven Complex Fire they had out there a few years ago, was a perfect example of how well we all work together. That building was saved, in essence, on just the cooperation through all the many departments that were on scene to help fight that fire. That could have been a real disastrous loss if it wasn't for that. And so, you know, it is. It's unique the way it works. And Ken Woods at Humboldt Bay has been wonderful in the way that he has offered up whatever he has. Even, you know, Arcata, Fortuna, they're just wonderful.
You mentioned a memorandum of agreement or folks being able to work together. Is there a separate one for the volunteer staffs, or do these tend to be together more on a geographic basis?
Geographic.
So if they need help and you're in the neighborhood or vice mm-hmm. versa,
yep.
that they can...
Yeah, we all have resources that we have listed down. And so like if they need a water tender, they'll get the closest water tenders around. We all have water tenders to go. We will respond with those. And we work really well with Cal Fire in that aspect. Cal Fire is, you know, of course, they dispatch all the volunteer departments out of their dispatch center in Fortuna. But we all work very well together with them. In the aspect of, we do the structure protection, they do the vegetation type fires, but You know, they're another big asset for us.
That's what I was wondering. Are you guys a wildland department, or are you more of an urban department in the primary training functions?
Okay, so yeah, we are wildland. We are capable to go out and fight in wildfire. Of course, you know, when you have 50-year-old volunteers, you don't want them out there digging a fire line around a fire without an ambulance close by.
That's the young guys.
Yes.
50-year-olds, yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I'm on the other side of that bar myself. Yeah.
We have our limitations. When they show up to their fire crews, we usually pull off and they take over. So
it's 3:30.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
St. Bernard's has openings for new children in our preschool and pre-kindergarten classes. Hi, I'm David Sharp, president of St. Bernard's Catholic School. St. Bernard's Early Childhood Education Center, license number 12540-2277, offers preschool and pre-kindergarten. We're open year-round from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Call us at 443-7705 to schedule a visit.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 4:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Richard Grissom. Richard is, well, among other things, we'll say that. Among other things, he's also the chief for the Fieldbrook Volunteer Fire Department. What's the biggest challenge?
Biggest challenge? I would have to say just, you know, taking care of my volunteers, making them feel like they're needed and appreciated. For challenges, it's really not that challenging because the job kind of takes care of itself in one aspect. I mean, the alarm goes off, everybody responds, we go to the call, we take care of what's ever going on, we go back to the firehouse, we all go back to our regular lives. 60 times a year, we have about 20 minutes or a half hour of our time. It gets kind of really exciting, and then it's just back to the regular life.
I hope it always stays exciting instead of becoming routine.
Oh, never gets routine. Never gets routine. In fact, the other night we had a call out, and my son couldn't get out of bed. My wife couldn't wake him up. He kept trying to wake up, but ended up me leaving him at the house and going by myself. But, you know, it does. When the calls come in the middle of the night, that is probably the worst time because, you know, it's hard to get orientated of what you're supposed to be doing.
Well, particularly if it's not your routine.
Right.
If you're doing it 10, 12 times a week.
Yes.
Yeah, okay, there's muscle memory. Things kick in instead of, did you leave the TV on? What's going on?
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And we're still, you know, a lot of our people respond off our siren. We have a siren that goes off, on top of the firehouse. And so a lot of people respond off of that. And it's a little old-fashioned, but it works very well.
So they gather at the fire station and then go?
Yes.
Or is it
yes.
The walkie-talkie and then they
well,
start?
Well, we're all hooked up with pagers, and of course now we all get text messages. They may come in right away or not.
Of course.
But you know, we all scramble to the firehouse, jump in the trucks, and go.
Maintenance and repair. I would think that some of those things are really the bane of a volunteer fire department.
It is. Used to be we took care of our own equipment. But nowadays, you know, you just can't. We take it in. We get all the inspections and all that taken care of by, you know, mechanics in Arcata. But, you know, it is. And you have to stay on top of those situations. You got to stay on top of all your maintenance, all your equipment. The stuff is too expensive to not.
Not the budget you have, but let's say the budget you would like to have.
Yes.
Okay. Fieldbrook's what? Maybe 1,000? 1,000 people?
Oh, maybe a little like 2,200.
Okay, so how many households?
There's about 500 households.
Okay, so you still got that 4 per house.
Yeah.
Okay, it doesn't sound really big, doesn't sound really challenging. Now, certainly it's more rural than what it would be 500 families in Eureka, but okay. What should the budget be for a volunteer fire department for a community of 2,000 people?
Well, I'd like to see at least 100,000 a year. It would be nice, but of course that's...
So about $5 a head?
Yeah, we'd be pretty close. See, we just had a tax assessment put in, a special tax assessment, and that's what helped build our new firehouse. And so, you know, that was voted in by our community at 86%, which was wonderful. That means...
I remember reading that, the one election night, going, okay. And then Neyland, I think, had something very similar.
Yes, they did. Very similar.
Okay. Something's weird here.
No, it's just...
Nothing goes through 9 out of 10. Nothing. I mean, not even adding math.
It takes.
And you guys got it.
Yeah. Well, we spent a lot of time interacting with the members of our community to do that, though.
So you were able to build a new station. Was the bond or the taxes specifically for that only, or is it also to help do additional funding?
So actually the one we had already in place, which was going to expire or sunset in this year, was at $42 a year per parcel. So we just increased it, went a year early, increased it to $75 a year. Was what we went to ask for the voters. And that increase of the 42 to 75 is what was going to cover the cost of the expansion of the firehouse. And that's what we had voted in.
I wouldn't think $5 a person is that high to ask for.
But it's not really.
To hit your ideal budget each year.
Well, it's not. But when you have Cal Fire asking for $150 a year, with that.
Now, do they deliver the same service in the same area?
No. They come, but they don't. They're not there. They will show up.
Okay, but you guys are there probably a little bit quicker.
Yes, they got to come from Trinidad, and so. But you know, still, we hate to keep going back to the community and asking for money. You know, when you know what we have is adequate. We're doing okay. We're maintaining our fire department as it is, but it would be nice to have a larger budget. Everybody wants a larger budget.
So if you had, I don't know, let's say 50 grand. It doesn't have to be a huge amount. What would you do with it? It's not enough to buy a fire truck.
No, it's not. there's always things that need to be bought. Our turnouts are now getting a little bit old. We're going to have to start looking at replacing turnouts. I mean, there's just always things that you need to purchase. And so we could use that money very easily in many ways.
Does the community support you, Richard?
Oh, very much so. I mean,
obviously, they did with the vote.
Yes, yes.
But, you know, you guys, it's not the Fieldbrook Blackberry Festival.
No, it's not.
So what do you guys do the fundraising, the additional stuff to get the turnouts or to be able to do some of the other things that you feel necessary?
Well, we have a chili dinner, but now we do a spaghetti dinner once a year. And that brings us in some money. We do a couple other different fundraisers out of the area. We do at Pony Express Days. We do the beer gardens up at the carnival they have. That brings us in a little bit of money.
Makes the carnival more fun.
Yes, it does. It helps. Every little bit helps. And then we also, people just out of the goodness of their heart, donate to our department, you know, during the course of the year.
So like the tax refunds, you guys might find a $50 check or $100 check sent to you, that kind of thing?
Yep. It's kind of nice.
That's what a community is about.
It is.
That's the cool stuff, I think.
I know. It is. And that's what makes me feel so good about Fieldbrook is the way they are so generous and the way they back us up on everything.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:42. We'll be back with more from Richard Grissom.
Attention 6th and 7th grade students. Plan now to attend the Ideas at Work Middle School Career Camp at College of the Redwoods this June. Campers take part in fun, hands-on projects in high-tech labs, tour businesses, and explore careers. There is no cost for this camp, but space is limited. Learn more and apply online at decadeofdifference.org or call 445-7563. Don't wait. Sign up today at decadeofdifference.org and be part of it.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:46. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Richard Grissom from Fieldbrook and the Volunteer Fire Department. What kind of situation are you in? What do you guys need? What are you looking for now to help either boost the department a little bit or just to have the community be able to rest a little bit easier tonight?
I would like to get some more volunteers. I'm interested in some people who would be wanting to come down and join the department. We meet every Monday night at 7 p.m. And, you know, we're just looking for people who are dedicated to the community that want to help out and have some time to be able to, you know, spend it with us.
So when you say time, what do you talk? I mean, there are volunteer organizations that say, oh, we need folks with some time. And they're thinking 30, 40 hours a week. Others are looking at maybe 2 hours a month.
Okay, so we train every Monday night for 2 hours, but you're on call 365, 7 days a week. I mean, you're on call all the time, and then whenever the alarm goes off, you need to respond. But that is what we love to do, but we do train. It's only 2 hours a week.
What if I've got a couple of Sunday afternoons and a bucket of paint? Is there a project? I mean, could I, or weed, or I mean, just small little things like. does that stuff add in at all? Do you want that kind of?
Well, you know,
support?
we have the, you know, I hate to say, we have that brand new firehouse and it's all painted up and nice and everything around is all landscaped and looks just beautiful. So in that aspect, we don't need any help in that area. I hate to say that.
Do a lot of volunteer fire departments need that
kind
of stuff?
Yes, they do. You always need that kind of stuff. And I almost hate to say I don't need it, but what I really need is personnel, especially young guys that want to come in, and ladies, I should say that. I need to correct myself.
Smart?
You know, just strong-willed and excited about being a volunteer and wanting to be on a department. And we'll even train and teach you how to drive fire trucks.
How do you know if you're the right person or not?
You'll know in your heart if you're the right person. It just depends on if the department likes you or not, I guess.
So you show up and now I have to sell myself.
No, what we do is all the people come in there on a 6-month probationary period. And after that 6 months, the department all gets together and we just talk about them and we just see if they're a fit or not, if they're, you know, volunteer material. And we haven't really ever turned anybody away.
Do you have to live in Fieldbrook?
Yes, you do.
What if you worked in Fieldbrook?
That's can be worked around. Yes.
Okay. So you want somebody of the neighborhood.
It helps. And it's in our policy that you do need to live in Fieldbrook. But we have had in the past teachers at the school that didn't live in Fieldbrook that were on the department and very good, you know, people to have on the department. So that is one clause that we will look at.
Or maybe they count as a half towards your 22 staff.
Yes. No, yeah. No. Well, I don't have half a set of turnout, so.
No, but you're in town half the time. So,
yeah,
you know,
okay.
We might get
lucky
hitting it. Do you guys respond to any of the stuff at Clam Beach, or Little River? Is that too far away?
It's too far away. We have gone with our water tender to places like that when they need water, but other than that, no, we don't respond to.
And Cal Fire is your first backup, or is it Arcata?
Arcata is our first backup. We have an auto aid with them on fires, so they're coming regardless. And same thing with us. We go over to McKinleyville on a fire. But Blue Lake is also right close by, and they're our next one to come. And Cal Fire comes all the time, no matter what.
Can't keep them away, or they hear that there's food.
Well, they just want to be seen.
There you go. What's the next fundraiser if folks in the community want to either see the fire station or just kind of help out?
Well, you can always come down and see the firehouse anytime on Monday nights. Our next fundraiser will be in November. That's going to be our spaghetti feed again.
Well, now that you know where we are, I'm hoping that you're going to send us a little something so we can help you out. How's that?
Okay, we will.
All right. Thanks for coming by, Richard.
Well, thank you very much.
Say hi to what's her name when you see her. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hugs to you. Blah, blah, blah. See you on Monday.